Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening every Saturday and Sunday. In 2009, my next guest wrote what became the most read article in the history of the New York Times Magazine. It was about female sexuality. And now he's expanded on that article and written much more about it in his book, which is called What Do Women Want? Adventures in the Science of Female Desire. Daniel Bergner, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. So it's been four more years. What have you figured out about what turns women on and why?
Yeah, and in fact, it's been about 8 years in total of spending time with researchers, most of them women, and then, of course, with everyday women as well, interviewing them, telling their stories in this book. I'd start with one thing. You know, we've long been told that evolution has programmed men to spread their seed, to be promiscuous, and women more or less to seek out one good man and to be more suited to monogamy. And I would say that science is telling us this just isn't so. If anything, when it comes to sex, monogamy may be more of a problem for women. I think more and more science is giving us a clearer and maybe even a more empowering understanding of female sexuality.
Has it always been that way, or are we talking about something new in the modern woman?
No, I think it's probably always been that way. It's just that we've managed to blind ourselves. You know, some of my early male readers have said things like, this is a cause for deep concern. This scared the bejesus out of me. I think we men have some things to worry about.
Yeah, I read that a couple of times in the book, that there are things that make you go, uh-oh, this is making me a little bit uncomfortable here. Not the content, but the you know, perhaps what it means.
You know, for so long, I think we've had this idea that women are a little more demure, a little less interested in sex. I have a feeling, or not just a feeling, it's quite substantiated now by science and also by just interviewing scores of women, that this just isn't so. It's kind of a convenient myth, a comforting myth for men, but not really backed up by evidence.
I guess part of that myth is that women's sexuality is muzzled. But in reading your book, I began to think to myself, maybe it's just that I'm a guy, and so I don't know what women are talking about with other women.
I think we've kind of failed to listen carefully, all of us, men and women, failed to sort of think deeply. So I'll give you one quick example. There are many, many fascinating experiments in the book, but in one, Meredith Chivers, one of the first scientists I spent time with, compares what women say turns them on to what their bodies say using a little device called a plethysmograph. And in one of many comparisons, she takes a very handsome stranger versus a very handsome and trusted close friend. Women say the trusted friend turns them on more. Their bodies say something entirely different. And while we can't really say whether plethysmograph or what women are saying is really the truth, there's probably no one the truth, still, it's one of many wake-up calls saying, this is a much more powerful force female desire is than we have been willing to recognize.
Okay, well, then I have to ask you about, if we go from there, I've got to ask you about porn and strip clubs, most of which are targeted towards the men in our society. There are a few Chippendales kind of places around the country, but there are a lot more, quote, gentlemen's clubs. I've never heard of a ladies' club like that. If it's true that women look at a guy and go, in the same way that men do, or maybe a different way and even more so, why is the business not there for them?
Right, and I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is that even though our society seems so sexually unrestrained, almost saturated by sex, that we still don't quite give the same permission to women to be sexual as we do to men. I'll give you a quick example of an experiment that really illuminates how much our societal structures and expectations shape the way we feel. So, you know, in speed dating, most often the men approach the women. The women might be seated on a banquette, and the men come and say hello, and then everyone at the end of the night checks off a box. Do I want to have a second date? and they might check off a box rating their level of desire. Well, a couple of ingenious researchers decide to flip this around. They set up a situation where women approach the men, and the results were just astonishing. The change was almost immediate. All of a sudden, women were checking the boxes as often as the men were, and it just shows you how our expectations, what we permit, what we assume, has such an effect on the way we think, the way we feel, even when it comes to something, as central as desire.
That's interesting. So women do know what turns them on.
I think they sure do. I mean, you know, I'd be arrogant to be speaking as a man saying, hey, this is what turns you on. I don't think that's necessary at all here. I think what I was hearing is, yes, there is, you know, there is a force here that's just been, as you put it, muzzled by societal structures and expectations.
How do American women compare to the rest of the world? Are they more open about sex or more repressed?
That is an awfully good question. I don't know the answer to that. It's difficult enough to do research, you know, on women rather than as opposed to comparing cross cultures. I will tell you one funny thing. When it comes to researching about sex, the Canadians are far more willing to do it than we are. And in fact, as I tried to get to the most interesting research, so often I was getting on a plane to fly to Vancouver, Toronto, or Montreal, as opposed to cities in the States.
That's interesting. In the U.S., are scientists who work in this field, sexual science, are they kind of looked down upon as second-class scientists?
I think so. I often heard that, and I think it's just an indication that we may not be yet willing to look at desire, even though it is so central to us. And, you know, one of the ways this plays out is, of course, in individual women's lives. So I tell a few stories in the book. One is the story of Isabel. She's 30. She's debating and kind of tormented by the decision about whether to marry the attractive, adoring boyfriend who she started to lose her desire for. And I think in a situation like that, not knowing that her situation is kind of common, blaming herself for losing desire within this monogamous relationship kind of puts an unfair burden on her. Similarly, toward the end of the book, I tell the story of Patsy, who's this 58-year-old, very proper Southern woman. Loves her husband mightily, but feels like there's something missing in her sexual life and kind of is lost as to what to do about that. And again, it's without a candid conversation, which I hope my book will engender, I think we are thwarting people in a way, because I don't know if you agree, but to me, sex seems sort of central to who we are. And if we can't have an honest conversation about it, we're leaving a part of ourselves, just a bit at a loss, I think.
I think we certainly are. You write in the book about the billions of dollars that have been spent on a female version of Viagra. Do women want that, and where does that stand?
That is such a good question, whether it'll be wanted. I think the drug companies are banking heavily that the answer is yes. That the winner of this race for a female desire drug will be very, very rich. I think we're about 2 years away, 2 or 3 years away from being on the market. I tell the story of one company that looks like it may win this race. Two fascinating things that came up as I told that story. One, it was a chance to get inside the brain and sort of see the sexual brain at work, the neural pathways of desire at work. The other thing was this. More than one company's consultations as they were developing the drug focused on the following problem. What happens if our results are too strong? Will the FDA turn us down because we'll be unleashing, you know, a legion of nymphomaniacs? And I just found that staggering. It was just such a strong statement about how we still, even in our supposedly liberated times, have this fear of women's desire. If this was really a conversation going on.
So sexist.
All
of the women that I work with here on America Weekend behind the scenes are shaking their heads. they can't believe it. The book is called What Do Women Want? Adventures in the Science of Female Desire. Daniel Bergner, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.